All right, let's bring in our very own Joe Jacklone, a retired NYPD sergeant, former commanding officer, ladies and gentlemen, the Bronx Cold Case Squad. He's current adjunct professor at John Jay, the college, and one of the authors of The Criminal Investigative Function, a guide for new investigators. Joe, a highly decorated member of the NYPD in his day, including the most notable Department Medal of Valor. And we say, not on his ordinary day, but certainly a day in which, you know, there's a lot going on. Joe Jacklone, sir, how are you?
Good morning, Jay. How are you?
And I'll tell you, a lot to digest over the last couple of days, including, Joe, what happened Saturday. We'll start there for a second before we get into Gilgo. You know, these scenes are becoming all too familiar, unfortunately. And an 18-year-old who is accused of traveling some, what was it, 200 miles from his home to carry out an attack that left 10 people dead, 3 injured, and a hate crime. I mean, that's all you can say. It was a hate crime. With the confirmation, I guess, coming, the authenticity of a 180-page manifesto written by this guy, in which he described, Joe, a racist ideology. And that's what it was about. He said he wanted to terrorize non-white, non-Christian people, get them to leave the country. All too familiar with this stuff.
Yeah, no, this is a terrible incident. And there's no doubt in my mind anyway that this was a hate crime attack. I mean, he wrote names and racial epithets on his gun. And I mean, the list goes on and on, the manifesto, you know, things he said before. But, you know, here's an example that, you know, what do we need to do in order to prevent this from happening? I mean, we talk about this ad nauseum, and nothing ever seems to get done, right? So we have, you know, there's no happy medium here. And here's a guy that was in contact with the police, too. So he was on the radar for, you know, behavior about wanting to do a school shooting. So he was investigated for that. And here he is, and able to go get a rifle like this, too, after all of that investigations and stuff like that. So there is going to be a deep dive somewhere into this where, or if the ball was dropped somewhere along the line where he could have been stopped ahead of time. But, you know, here we are talking about another mass shooting, and I think there was another one in Houston yesterday, too, and there's one in California. I mean, it just seems to be like once they get started, it just seems to be like the copycat mode where we hear a bunch of them all at once. But it's just, you know, unfortunately, we keep on just spinning our wheels at this jig.
Killed, all of whom, by the way, were over age 50, except for one, I think it was. And it was the store security guard, a 55-year-old retired police officer from Buffalo, Aaron Salter, who, by the way, fired multiple times at this kid. But he was wearing all this body armor, and the shots were ineffective. And then the shooter then killed the former police officer there. Who is, without question, a true hero. You know, the situation was, you mentioned it, Joe, this guy was on the radar. I guess police were called to his high school, I think it was last June, right? He made some threatening comments. He threatened, citing a source, to carry out a shooting over at Susquehanna Valley High. That's in Conklin, New York, folks. That's 200 miles from Buffalo. He was hospitalized for about a day and a half, mental health evaluation. Never charged, though, Joe, with a crime.
No.
And had no further contact with the police. But, again, an incident in which this guy was on the radar.
Yeah, no, I mean, and how many times have we seen that already, too, right? Where you had a mass shooting where somebody was on law enforcement's radar. You know, there have to be some sort of protocols or be able to put in place. But maybe about something about flagging somebody who's had some mental distress or whatever in the system. I don't know what the answer is. And I know that no matter what you say, either the left is going to go after you or the right goes after you, right? Because there's everybody in the middle here who can just look at this in a calm manner and just say, hey, listen, I mean, how many times do we have to deal with this before we can come to an agreement about how something has to get done? And it's just an unfortunate incident, Jay. And then the fact that we're going to be doing this in ad nauseum in perpetuity, because there's nothing ever going to get done. I'm at that point where I'm just so pessimistic about anything meaningful ever getting pushed through by our legislators and our politicians is just, you know, unfortunately, there's going to be a way of life.
Yeah, and Joe, I don't know what the answer is either. You know, I mean, there has to be some accountability with parents. I mean, this kid was 18. You know, somebody had to see something here, know something about this guy. You know, I mean, there is no set answer anymore for this stuff. You know, you go back to the days of Nicholas Cruz in Parkland, you know, where police were called there 40 times. I mean, at what point does anything make a difference to stop these just this lunacy? I mean, that's all you can say. It's unbelievable.
I wish I had the answer.
Yeah. No, we all do. We just don't know. We await the next one, you know. So that's the horrific part of this whole thing. All right, let's go to the Gilgo stuff. Friday, the press conference at around noon. Joe, the release of the call. And Amanda, let's play a little excerpt here.
Is that Shannon Gilbert's death is not consistent with Shannon being the victim of violence or of a violent offender. Significant differences between Shannon's death and the circumstances surrounding the other victims' deaths were also highlighted by BAU. The Suffolk County Police Department is open to evaluate any evidence to be able to help us and all involved determine a definite cause of death. However, based on the evidence, the facts, and the totality of the circumstances, the prevailing opinion is that Shannon's death, while tragic, was not a murder and is most likely an accident.
Wow. Well, you know, listen. I was shocked. I got to be honest with you. Completely shocked. And to the fact of the matter, John Ray represents the Gilbert family, who will be on with us in about 20 minutes or so, Joe, who is going to have a press conference tomorrow. And I'll get into that a little. But all in all, you know, deflation is probably the word for me when I heard this whole thing on Friday. It really was. I mean, if she wasn't murdered, I mean, what happened here? She died of natural causes? Did she die of an overdose? I mean, what are we saying here? You know? Is there any transparency? I mean, my goodness. Give me your take, sir.
Well, the first thing that, you know, after watching the press conference and listening to the audio tape, I'm just scratching my head and trying to figure out why they fought the release of this for whatever years. You know, I mean, from when John, you know, filed a lawsuit and actually has the tapes. Why did there is nothing in this tape, there was nothing in this call that would say that there would have been a violation of the case at all, right? I mean, not a thing. It has really no investigative value whatsoever, and I can't imagine why they fought so hard to even keep it a secret. That's the first thing. The second thing is that it really provides no other insight into what we already kind of knew. Shannon seems to be having some sort of episode in the video. I mean, she's in the beginning. You can hear, if you haven't heard it yet, I would ask everybody to listen to it, because it's part of Long Island in the respect that this is never going away until the case is solved. And even then, there'll be movies and TVs and stuff like that all on top of it. But here's the issue that I have. When you have an undetermined death, when the medical examiner says that this case is undetermined, I can't make a decision on what the manner of death is, right? There's only five from natural accident, suicide, homicide, and undetermined. Then it gets kicked back to the police department to prove that it is or isn't, right? So opinions and stuff like that don't matter. So that they keep on just trying, you know, the more you say it doesn't make it true, right? So if they're saying it's accidental, you're going to have to prove accidental. And let's put that part of this case to bed already. So we've seen the new commissioner, Rodney Harrison, really take control in this. I mean, you can tell that he has been involved in this case because he knows all these details and that, and the way he released these things. The issue that you have to keep on moving forward is if there's anything else that could be released, just release it already. I don't think this case could have any more problems than it already has. So we've seen so much released in the last month than we had in the last 10 years. And also, you saw the new commissioner, unlike previous commissioners that we've had, actually knows what he's talking about. And he actually knows a lot more about this case, I think, than his predecessors did. So this is a step in the right direction. And I think focusing in on the Gilgo Four, the four women that were found wrapped in burlap, is a good indication to me that they feel that those cases are solvable and they're going to tackle them first. And I think that's the right move, too.
Joe, I'm very suspicious, more so now, because all along we heard that this phone call, when it was to be played, whenever it would be, could be a game changer. We heard that from John Ray, you know? Now, if they pretty much picked out little snippets here and there, I mean, listen, at this point, why, I ask? I mean, if you've upped the ante from 25 to 50,000 to entice as far as somebody giving information leading to the arrest or whoever, if you've tweaked the website, you know, you've got a new regime in there. I mean, what are we doing? All that being said, you know, you take a couple of steps backwards, if that's the case, from Friday. Very disingenuous. I found it actually insulting to the fact now that you're telling us Shannon Gilbert that was not murdered, okay? I mean, at this point, what are we talking about here? You know? It's just the same old conjured up again as far as muddying the waters and really not going to know the next steps involved here. I don't know. To me, well, it threw me into a bit of a frenzy. I did speak to Attorney John Ray over the weekend. He's coming on in a couple of minutes, as mentioned. He's got a press conference tomorrow. He disagrees as far as what Detective Lieutenant Kevin Beyer had stated. So, in essence, here we go again as far as the tug of war.
Well, you know, sure. I mean, but the Suffolk County Police Department has been saying that her death was accidental since they found her. So that's why the family brought in the independent autopsy by Michael Bodden and everything else on top of it. So that part of it wasn't new. And I think that they're just keeping that going because that's what they said from the very beginning. And it's kind of like no turning back now. But if you heard, or they said a number of times, well, we're open to, you know, more information. We're open to it. Well, the deal is that you have to prove that, right? So you should be investigating that thoroughly and trying to prove your theory that this was accidental. And just by saying, well, it's in our opinion, it doesn't change it. The medical examiner is not going to change the death certificate because you think so. And that's the bottom line on that. And I know, you know, the FBI behavioral unit was involved in this because he mentions BAU. You know, and he mentioned the fact that because Shannon was found south of the road and, you know, the others were found north of the Ocean Parkway, I'm not buying all that either. So, you know, that really, to me, doesn't mean much just because she was found, you know, 100 yards further south than everybody else on the highway that, oh, this doesn't have to do with that. There still needs to be a lot more investigation in that part. You know, what about the clothes and her phone? And, you know, was it in fact, was things folded up like they said in the news? Or, you know, let's start getting rid of all of the other speculation that is involved in this case. And I think Commissioner Harrison alluded to that by saying, you know, things have been basically, you know, gummed up because of, you know, speculation. But this, Jay, we've talked about this, and I've said it, I know, a number of times. When the police department fails to come forward with information, the gaps that you leave open will be filled in by the public. And now with the internet, you can't control it. So the amount of speculation and who's involved and who's the killers and this and that is just immense. And trying to now to put the genie back in the bottle is going to take more than one or two press conferences and releases of information. That's all I can say is let's be patient and with the police department here now. We do have new regime, and I think that if there are still people involved from the case originally from 10 or 11 years ago, I think maybe, you know, we need to find some new, fresh set of eyes on this and bring some other people in. That's my only suggestion.
Joe, I tell you, and they didn't do themselves any favors for me regarding this. I got to be honest with you. In fact, a bit of a letdown. We'll see. Now, listen, I've got faith. I still do. As far as the new commissioner is concerned, obviously with this district attorney and Ray Tierney, I've got a lot of faith going on. But I got to tell you, a major letdown for me from what I witnessed from the watching the video and, you know, listening to Beyer and everything else, listening to the accounts of Shannon, what she went through with those various homes, with the driver going in there, trying to lure her out, going into those two other homes in Gus Fassetti and the Barbara Brennan. And by the way, Barbara Brennan, my goodness, You know, one thing about her, and a final thought on my end. Joe, if she is witnessing an impaired Shannon Gilbert, a young lady, well, why in the heck wasn't anything done? I mean, isn't that a kind of a maternal instinct? When you see somebody in despair like that, that's the thing also that hit me. You know, there's so many things along the way here, but my goodness. There are a lot of questions involved as far as who was actually involved with Shannon that night, you know?
No, I hear you, but I mean, I don't blame Barbara Brennan for not opening her door. I mean, it's, what is it, 5 o'clock in the morning, someone banging on your door. She did exactly what we expect the public to do, call 911 and wait for the police to arrive. You don't know what's going on anymore with the, you know, how many people out there, what's going to happen. So I don't, you know, I don't fault her for that. And I don't fault Gusletti for not, you know, holding on to her either. I mean, at this point, you don't know what you're dealing with in certain aspects. So, you know, people sometimes, you have to just act in self-preservation. So I'm okay with, you know, with what they did. At least they called 911, right? Because there's other people that live there that didn't get 911 calls, too. So that's the other point that you're dealing with. But, you know, things like they need to address why wasn't the video surveillance taken from, you know, the entrance point of Oak Beach, right? Those are the things that they need to address also publicly about, you know, shortcomings of the investigation from the initial stages, which has led to an immense amount of speculation.
Tough one. Tough weekend, Joe, overall. We'll keep an eye on things. Listen, we can only hope that, listen, my feelings are, I hope I can reverse them regarding this stuff. But I got to be honest with you, what I saw on Friday, it kind of put me back in that mode again of despair and wondering, you know, if anything is going to ever happen with this case, you know. But we'll see. Joe Jacklin, you'll hear him on Friday. And the crime report, the Sarge. Sir, you stay well. We'll talk.
You too. Have a great week.